This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Hello, and welcome to Sounds Choral, a program that seeks to present the vast body of choral repertoire in a way that's intelligible, relevant, entertaining, and uplifting. I'm your host, James Jordan from Westminster Choir College. On today's program, we will introduce our listeners to a relatively unknown British composer, Peter Ralph. You will hear the premiere performance of his new Requiem in addition to several motets. I met Peter Ralph when I first guest conducted the University of Aberdeen Chamber Choir conducted by Paul Miller in Scotland. A few years later, the University of Aberdeen Chamber Choir came on a United States tour and joined the Westminster Williamson Voices for performances in both New York and Princeton. Ironically, on the bus ride home back to Princeton, Peter and I started up a conversation about his studies at Aberdeen. I then discovered that he was a composition major studying with Paul Miller and Philip Cook. He then also told me of his acceptance to study composition at Cambridge for a master's degree in composition. At that point, I asked him to send me scores, and the rest is history. Peter and I recently had a far-ranging conversation about him, his background, and his music, and I'm happy to introduce Peter Ralph to each of you so that you can get to know him better. Well, Peter, welcome to Sounds Choral.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes. So the listeners of Sounds Choral won't even know who you are, and we know who you are. Tell me about your background. Let's start with your educational background, then we're going to back that up a little bit. But tell us about your education through college to this point.
Certainly. So I'm from the Lake District originally, which is in northern England, and that's where a lot of my early education happened. That all began with choral music in various churches, parish churches, and cathedrals as I was growing up. So that was very, very formative in my early years. I then went to the University of Aberdeen for my undergraduate, where I studied with Philip Cook and Paul Miller, which was absolutely wonderful time and, again, very formative in my choral language. And then on to the University of Cambridge for a master's degree in composition and with Christian Mason. And now I'm at the University of Bristol, busy doing my PhD studies.
So when you were younger, you talked about influence in church, etc., but what were you? Were you a singer as a child and growing up? Is that your primary thing? Were you a pianist? Were you an organist?
Yes. So I was a singer from a very young age. I played treble, and it was from there that I then began. I learned the organ after that, studied under some wonderful organ teachers such as Roger Williams, and I was an organ scholar up at King's College when I moved up to Aberdeen. And so, yes, it was choral singing and organ playing were my main instruments.
So the question we always ask composers, who are your major influences? People will not have heard any of your music before they'll hear this interview first, so maybe you want to prime the pump a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. My music's very heavily influenced by the British pastoral tradition, and this has manifested itself in a number of different ways. Through the idea of using very, very simple melodies, be that medieval plain chant or Cumbrian folk song, and using these very, very simple melodic lines to weave a much more complex, larger structure to the music. So that's really what my music is all about and what I'm looking for.
Your sound world, obviously, as the listeners will find out very quickly, I've done a lot of your music and maybe one of your biggest fans. How would you describe your sound world?
My sound world is aesthetically experiments with contrast between very rich and very bare musical lines. So it's all about this slowly building up and removing of complexity. I think there's a lot of power in silence, and particularly as you'll hear in the Requiem, as the piece progresses, there is an increasing amount of silence as the music goes on. These are the really important parts of the aesthetic of my music.
Certainly, these are my opinions, but conductors always have opinions. I do believe that your sound world is a new one to choral people. I think it's more expansive, I think it uses more color. And despite the fact that you say the simplicity, it's that color of simplicity which I find so attractive and draws one in. You always, in your pieces, Peter, have a very clear image in your mind, somehow, visual image of what the music, this is not movie music, I want our listeners to understand, but you always have an inspirational vision for each piece that I have done. Can you tell us about that? Because your notes for each piece certainly allude to that.
Absolutely. I tend to find that I can't write a piece of music unless I've got a strong, almost intellectual understanding of really what I'm wanting to achieve from that music. So a really good example of that can be found in Tenebrae Lumini, where it's all about linking this wonderful image of sunrise with Christian doctrine. And trying to get that across in music was absolute joy and really wonderful. And so you see this gradual building up to this fantastic moment of light and sunshine. So that's a really good example of that. And another one you'll get is in the Requiem, where in anyone's life, to lose someone is absolutely dreadful. And in writing this piece, I was thinking about how I could bring this across, and I came across a nursing journal called Nursing, and an article which had been written in 1999 by Professor Linda Roederer, which had been based on information she got from nurses in palliative care. And she proposed four steps to how one overcomes grief. And those include reeling, which is trying to come over the shock, denial, and disbelief which characterizes this stage. And then the second one is an emotional stage, which is they can come in rapid succession, such as anger, anguish, or deep sadness. Thirdly, dealing, which involves the kind of thoughts and actions which are helping you to cope with and adapt to your loss. And the final one, which is healing. And it's examples like this which really bring the music, which help the music kind of construct itself to me, really. That's how it works.
So this isn't meant to be a loaded question, but I have had composers talk to me about this. So the Requiem was written for Williamson Voices, and you certainly know the choir, you know me. You also know the sound that they produce, that we try, that it's kind of an expanded choral palette over most choirs, mainly because of the size of the choir, and also I think it's unique sound. Did that, again, it's a loaded question, did that enter your mind as you wrote? Because the scoring for the Requiem is rather, I wouldn't call it dense, but it certainly is a palette which we're not used to hearing.
Absolutely. And it was absolutely fantastic to receive this commission for this particular choir, which the sort of music that they sing is, they are one of the best choirs in the world for performing this sort of music. So absolutely, I was very much thinking of the performer when I was writing this music. Very much not unusual, looking historically. A lot of composers have historically written for yes. particular ensembles or people. But no, this is a piece, the Requiem in particular, is a piece which is very much written for that rich sound world which Westminster Williamson Voices can provide, which very few other choirs can quite capture.
And, you know, just so our listeners know, the Requiem and the two other pieces on the program are published by American publisher GIA Music in Chicago. The last thing I want to talk about is the listeners will hear our crotales. Will you just briefly tell them about the crotales and its connection to the rosary?
Absolutely, certainly. Another major influence in creating the Requiem was seeing the painting The Magdalen Weeping, and this was by an unidentified mid-16th century Netherlands artist. I thought it absolutely brought together, to me, it really symbolized what grief was all about. And central to this painting is her wearing a rosary. And this I found interesting for a number of different ways, including the ritual aspect of it and how that links in really well with the larger structures which I was talking about just before. So particularly you'll hear the crotales, which are a very, very high-pitched bell-sounding instrument, chiming once every seven bars, which is symbolic of the seven stages to each decade of the rosary. So the whole of the first and final movements are based off this structural idea. And then it's interrupted by this outpouring of grief which occurs in the central two movements.
you're going to know that a piece is going to make a mark when you read it the first time. And that mark is that it sings itself. This piece with this particular choir was a joy beginning to end, Peter. It's a tribute to your skill and to your understanding of us, and I think a commitment to text that's, I think, extraordinary. Just to put everything into perspective for our listeners, Peter, how old are you?
I'm 25.
I know, that just slays all of us. We value you as our friend, and we are so honored to share this premiere over the airwaves with our many listeners at WWFM, and we thank you for the piece, and we look forward to more further collaborations between not only Williamson Voices, but the same stream. For our listeners, there is a CD coming out in June on the GIA Choral Music label, and it's called Songs of the Questioner, where there's the music of Thomas Lavoie, Dan Forrest, several composers, of which two pieces of Peter Ralph's are on the recording. Peter, your website is, what is the name of your website in case listeners want to go to it?
Certainly. It is probably best found through my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Peter Ralph Composer, or you can find me on Twitter as well. So there's the two best ways of getting in contact with me or hearing more of my music.
Great. Well, thank you, Peter, for your time. And I'm so excited to share this piece with our listeners, actually all three pieces. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
That was a conversation with British composer Peter Ralph. You will now hear a live recording of the premiere performance of his Requiem, scored for 8-voice choir a cappella with crotales, commissioned by the Grammy-nominated Westminster Williamson Voices, and premiered in the Princeton Abbey April 14, 2018. Solos for this performance are Camille Watson, soprano, Lucy Hole, soprano, Daniel Wells and Paul David Flood, tenors, and Samuel Scheibe plays the crotales, and the conductor is James Jordan, your host for Sounds Choral. We will play the Requiem in its entirety. It is organized using a traditional structure of movements. Requiem Aeternam, Kyrie Eleison, Dies Irae, Agnus Dei, Communion, In Paradisum, and the work closes with Pie Jesu, with the addition of an Alleluia. You've been listening to a live performance of a new setting of a Requiem by British composer Peter Ralph, performed by the Westminster Williamson Voices, with your host James Jordan conducting. Now we will turn our attention and listen to two motets by Peter Ralph, recorded by the same Stream Choir, with your host James Jordan conducting again. These will be released this summer on a new CD titled Songs of the Questioner on the Spiritum GIA Choral Works label, recorded in the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. Information about the release of this CD can be found on the choir's website, thesamestreamchoir.com, one word. First, you will hear Tenebrae Lumini for eight-voice choir a cappella. Tenebrae Lumini is a setting of St. Ambrose of Milan's morning hymn, which ties the powerful imagery of sunrise with Christian doctrine. The piece is a meditation on these ideas, with the harmony slowly growing from the pitch center of C as the music progresses from dark to light. The climax occurs when the key phrase comes reigning and blessed forevermore in Latin, regnam per omne saeculum, coincides with the sunrise. Peter Ralph began composing this setting in All Saints Chapel, Canterbury Cathedral, perched 100 feet above the south transept. From this vantage point, the low January sun, slowly setting above the city, was a key influence to my compositional technique. That's a quote from Peter Ralph. We will then follow it with a piece called Ave Redemptor. Ave Redemptor by Peter Ralph is a setting of the beautiful and powerful words Ave Redemptor. The melody, which Peter wrote as a child, is supported by hazy, slow-moving harmonic pedals. The music is constantly moving toward the phrase Enim Salvator nunc inunavit super. Now salvation has overflowed upon all the world. The word universam is the one clear moment where both the solo choir and the semi-chorus sing together in harmony, immediately following by the receding voices to their initial volume. The semi-chorus is intended as a solo quartet to be placed some distance from the main choir. The beginning of the piece, the semi-chorus's part, is almost drowned out by the choir, but then at the end of the piece can be heard again, but then recedes into the texture of the larger choir. Ave Redemptor serves as an elegy for the Mardale Church, which was mostly dismantled and repurposed for the creation of a reservoir in the Lake District of Northern England in the 1930s. The timeless quality of the flooded remains of the church have been a great inspiration for this music by Peter Ralph. So now we will hear two pieces by Peter Ralph, Tenebrae Lumine, followed by Ave Redemptor, both performed by the same Stream Choir, James Jordan, conductor. two motets by British composer Peter Relf, Tenebrae Luminae and Ave Redemptor, sung by the same string choir conducted by your host, James Jordan. I hope you have enjoyed our program today, introducing you to a new, fresh, young British composer who is making a mark in both the UK and the United States for his compositional style and his new choral world. We close the program with another local premiere of a work by Peter Relf, Aurora, performed by the Episcopal Choir of Princeton University Chapel. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios at WWFM, the Classical Network, David Osenberg producer. I'm your host, James Jordan from Westminster Choir College. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation and membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org. Thank you.